1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 26. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes."
Well, good morning. Do not ask me to dance like that. It would not be nearly as pretty or as cute. So please don't do that. Please don't do that. Really, I'm going to ask you, if I fill out a page, to turn into y'all, is that just for Jake or is it for y'all too? Yeah. So, yeah. I tell you what, Jake, I'm just going to say this for everybody to hear it. When they told me that they were looking at you to become one of our elders, I want you to know I rejoiced in that. I think Jake is a fine man, absolutely fine man. And I'm proud to know Jake and his family and such sweet people, and I think he'd be an excellent addition to our eldership. So, anyway, I just tell you all that just to influence you. So that's what that was. I want to talk today about the Lord's Supper. Why do we come together? Okay. Remember in Acts chapter 20, verse 7. Acts chapter 20, verse 7. They came together on the first day of the week to break bread, to remember the sacrifice that Jesus gave for us. Now in Acts chapter 2, they did it daily. And the reason why they did it daily was because they were all still together from the day of Pentecost, but that time got to the point that they couldn't come together daily anymore because people had to go back home. They had to go back to their lives, their families. They had to leave Jerusalem, and so therefore they could not meet together every day. So they set up a day to meet together, which was the first day of the week. Why the first day of the week? Because that was the day that Jesus rose from the grave. That was the reason. Jesus rose up from the grave, and therefore we come together on the first day of the week. And as Paul says there, as Paul says, they came together on the first day of the week in order to break bread. Now, Luke wrote that, but it was about Paul. Now, I understand when they did that. They came together for one major purpose, and that's the remembrance. We too oftentimes, and I want you all to know this, too oftentimes, we, as the churches of Christ, kind of skirt through the Lord's Supper. That is the wrong thing to do. The Lord's Supper is more important than the preaching. Preaching's important, but the Lord's Supper is more important. And that we do it right is imperative. Because as Paul talks about it in 1 Corinthians, he says, that's why some of you are sick. That's why some of you don't do the things that you're supposed to be doing. That's why you're having problems, is because you don't partake of the Lord's Supper in the proper manner. You're thinking about other things. You're thinking about what we're going to have for lunch. Or you're thinking about your job. Or your mind is focused on something other than what your mind should be focused on. When you take of that Lord's Supper, your mind should be focused on Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Period. Period. And Jesus even says, in talking about leaving your gift at the altar, Jesus even tells us that if your mind is not right when you do that, now he's not talking about the Lord's Supper here because the Lord's Supper is not established yet, but it can be applied to the Lord's Supper. If your mind is not right, leave it, go back and get your mind right, and then come back and partake of the Lord's Supper. If you have a problem with your brother or sister, he tells you, go and take care of that first. And then when you come back, then your mind will be right and focused on what it should be right and focused about. We're not going to worry about these other things in this world. While we partake of this Lord's Supper, we're going to focus our attention on God. We're going to focus our attention on Christ. We're going to focus our attention on that love that God had for us, that He gave us His only begotten Son. That's where our mind should be. And I want you to know that I don't speak enough about the Lord's Supper. I probably need to have many, many, many more sermons about the Lord's Supper because it is so important. I cannot imagine going to a congregation that believes that they only have to take the Lord's Supper once a quarter or once a month or once every year. I cannot imagine that. Because they are setting aside the one thing that we come together to do, that we're supposed to do, to remember that sacrifice. It is because of that sacrifice that you and I can go to heaven. We can't go to heaven without it. And it's also one thing that we need to remember is this, that sacrifice could only have been done through Jesus Christ. Because He had no sins to bear for. Only someone who lived their life perfect in every way could pay our debt for sin. And therefore, when you look at it and you realize that, you have to realize that Jesus paid your debt. He paid my debt so that I could be with Him in eternity. This is why we come together. Yes, we come together to worship. Yes, we do all these other things. We edify one another. We admonish one another. We teach. We preach. We sing songs of praise. We lift our voice in prayer, and we do all those things, and we're supposed to do all those things, yes, but the most important reason we come together is because of Jesus Christ. There is no more important reason. And so when we partake of the Lord's Supper, you need to set aside everything in your mind except that great sacrifice on the cross. So today, I want to talk about the Lord's Supper. I want to spend a little time talking about it, and I want to open your mind to some things about the Lord's Supper that I'm sure you've never even thought of. And the reason why I'm sure you never thought of it is because I didn't think of it either until just recently. But I want you to see it. We come together to affirm our belief, to support one another in our belief, our actions, and to encourage one another to do good works. That is why we come together. That's one of the reasons we come together. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 says this, and let's consider how to encourage one another in love and good deeds. Now, one of the things that I do quite often is I tell you about how if you will just say a kind word to somebody, if you'll just smile at somebody, they will respond to you. Folks, I've seen it, and I've tried it out. I've worked at it. And it's amazing to me that you can be walking down the aisle at Walmart where there's 1,000 people in that building, and you walk down the aisle at Walmart and you just smile at somebody and say, "How are you?" You realize that they always smile back at me? Maybe because I'm funny looking. But they always smile back at me. And they always say something like, "I'm fine, how are you today?" You know, all that did was just give them a little ray of sunshine as we walked down the street. That used to be a fire drill that I've heard before. Little ray of sunshine. That's all it is. If you smile at somebody and say, "Man, how are you doing today?" They're going to respond positively to you. And if you don't believe it, try it out. Try it out. Try it at the drive-thru. Try it in the stores. Try it when you see somebody, especially who's having a rough day. Because I've seen people who are having a rough day, and if you take some time and just say hello to them and smile at them and treat them kindly, their response is going to be good. That's part of letting your light shine. So I encourage you always to go out and do good to people, to lift them up. Because I'm going to tell you right there, you will have a better opportunity to bring them to Christ by doing that than by you standing on a corner yelling at them saying, "You're all going to hell if you don't do these things." You're going to get a whole different reaction if you do that. Treat people the way that you're supposed to treat them. So I encourage you to love one another, to show good works. And as it says there in Hebrews chapter 10, 25, don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Because if we do forsake that assembling, guess what? We don't have the opportunity to come together as Christians in one accord to be lifted up. We must do these things because we want God's light to shine through us. Now, the number one thing to worship is to give thanks to the Lord, call upon His name, make His deeds known among the peoples, sing to Him, sing praises to Him, speak of all His wonders. This is one of the reasons why we come to worship. It's to do all these things, to give thanks, to call upon His name, to make His deeds known among the people. This is what we do. This is why we come together. And folks, you can't do this without coming together. It's impossible. We come together to do this. And verse 9, sing to Him, sing praises to Him, speak of all His wonders. We do those things. But I want you to see this more than anything else. Is the main reason we come together is for the purpose of doing the Lord's Supper. That's number one. Number one. And I want you to look at it in a whole different perspective today. Here's the perspective first. The Lord's Supper is a remembrance. It is a look back at what has been done for you. I've told you many, many times before, and I'm going to tell you many, many more times, make this personal. Don't say he died for you, or this person over here, or this person over there. Say he died for me. It's me he died for. I am the reason why he died. I'm the reason why he did those things. And if you've ever seen the movie The Passion, I'm going to mention it a couple of times here, but if you've ever seen the movie The Passion, can I see a show of hands, all of you that have seen the movie The Passion? There's a bunch of you. I encourage you to see it once. But it is incredibly difficult to watch. Incredibly difficult to watch. But one of the things that I've learned about that movie is the hand that you see holding the nail, and I've told y'all this before, the hand that you see holding the nail as it's being driven into Jesus' hand is Mel Gibson's hand. And his statement was, the reason why he wanted to do that. Now, he's not in the movie except for his hand. He said, the reason why I wanted to do that is because I wanted everybody to know that Jesus Christ died for me. I was the reason that he was crucified. I was the reason that the nails were driven into his hands. I am the reason that he was beaten, that he was scourged, that he was made fun of. I am the reason that these things occurred. And realize it is because of that. Because God loved us so much that he gave his only begotten Son so that we might be with them in eternity. It's because of that that we come together on Sunday morning to remember the fact that Jesus gave his life for me. It's all of us. He died for the world. When darkness was upon the face of the earth, he took the sins of the world upon himself. And therefore, there could be no light on the earth because Jesus is the light. And Jesus took the sins of the world upon himself, and therefore darkness was upon the face of the earth for 3 hours. And then we also see this, and like I've told you before, I think that this was the hardest part of Jesus being crucified on the cross. It wasn't the beatings, it wasn't the mockings, it wasn't even the nails. The hardest part was when he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because for the first time in Jesus' life, he was truly and completely alone. But he had to experience every aspect of sin in order to pay our debt. There was no aspect of sin that he did not experience while he was on the cross that sin brings. Sin brings that separation between us and God. Eternal separation. Sin brings that darkness upon us. Eternal darkness. Sin brings eternal pain and suffering. Jesus suffered while on the cross. All those things Jesus did. And as we partake of this Lord's Supper, we need to remember the fact that Jesus went through all that for you, for me. Second, the Lord's Supper is a look around. This is something you've never thought of before. I know you haven't. Maybe you have. But I'm going to tell you this, the Lord's Supper is a look around. Just look around and see all of us that have communed together. That's why we often call it communion, because we've communed together in one place to remember Jesus and His sacrifice. We're communed together among believers in the fact that Jesus was indeed the Son of God. We have communed together as children of God. And as we partake of this Lord's Supper, we need to realize that this is not only a remembrance of what has happened in the past, but it is a communion of believers in Christ our Lord Jesus Christ. We are one. We are one body. We are one spirit. We are one mind. We are one with God. And it's through that sacrifice that we are one. And therefore, when we come together to lift each other up, to encourage one another, to admonish one another, to help each other, to do good deeds, we come together for that purpose, and we look around the room and we see all these people together. And folks, you are my family. I want you to know something. And Benny, I'm going to talk a little bit about you here in just for a second. Friday evening, I had been in Hot Springs helping my son since about, I left about 8 o'clock Friday morning. Drove to Hot Springs, came back, walked in the door, and before I was able to sit down, Benny gave me a call to tell me that Linda was not going to make it much longer. And I said to Benny, I said, well, Benny, I said, Kathy and I are planning on coming up there tomorrow. And he said, I'm not sure she's going to make it till tomorrow. And I just told Benny, I said, I'll be there. And I was. Kathy and I got in the car. As a matter of fact, I hadn't even said hello to Kathy yet. She was out messing in the garden. And I went out to the garden, and she was out there working in the garden. And I said, I'm home, but I'm not home. I'm leaving. I'm going up to the hospital. Linda Lockhart's up there. And Kathy looked at me. She said, I'm going too. And I said, well, let's go. And so we jumped in the car and we were driving down the road, and we were on Webb Road. If you know where Webb Road is, it's right there, not even a half mile from our house. And then I get a call from John. John says, I don't know if you know this about Linda. I said, yep, just heard about it. I'm on the way there right now. He said, okay. Well, I got there, and there were a few people in the room. And we prayed over Linda. And then what happened was that her family all started showing up. And in that little bitty room in intensive care, there were 16 people. Family, friends, and God's family. We were getting texts. We were getting calls, people asking how things were going. And we told them, we're not sure she's going to be here much longer. And sure enough, she wasn't there much longer. But she was surrounded by family. And I'll just stop with the word family because that's what it was. Even though not all of us were physical family, all of us were spiritual family. And we prayed for. Benny led us in a song that we sang while we were there. And I want you to know, it's a great way to go, to be surrounded by your family. But I also want you to know this, that there was great rejoicing in heaven. Great rejoicing in heaven. Because Linda had lost a little child early in her life. Guess who met her at the gate of paradise? How wonderful is that? So realize that we are all family. We are all surrounded by family members. You are my family. I am your family. What a great thought that is. Now also, the third part about this is this. Our Lord's Supper, our communion together, is also a look forward. It's a look back. It's a look around. It's a look forward. And the reason why it's a look forward, it's a look forward because one day we will partake of the Lord's Supper with Jesus in eternity. There will be a great communion of all those people who have gone on before us, who are faithful in Jesus Christ. And we will be there together with them for an eternity. What a great thing that will be. What a great time that will be. When there will be no more parting, there will be no more death, there will be no more pain or suffering or hunger, that all those things will be done away with because Jesus paid our debt. And therefore, we proclaim His death until He comes. This is our look forward. It's life-affirming. It is community-affirming. And it is hope-affirming. We know that we have hope in an eternity because Jesus paid our debt. That's why we have that hope. That's why we can look at Linda, for example. Who was ready? She was ready to go home, wasn't she? She was ready to go. She was ready to go home. And I can tell you, and of course I'm not supposed to do this, but I'm going to do it anyway. I can tell you that Linda was one of those type of people that I wish that I could be. A person that was full of life. Full of love, full of joy. And she loved her family more than anything in the world. More than anything in the world. She loved her family. What a great thing that is. To love your family. And they ask, what do you remember about Linda? And I said, well, one thing I remember about Linda was that during our round robin that we had last September, she had to sit right behind me as I drove. Everywhere we went, she sat right there behind me. That was her spot. And you know what she did? She talked the whole way. All the way up and all the way back, she talked the whole way. She loved being with us. Absolutely loved it. And she hated it when she could not be here. Isn't that the way it should be? And I want you to know that one day, because of the hope of salvation that we have through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we'll all be there together. And we'll never part again. The last verse that I have up there is Matthew chapter 26, verse 29. And it says this, until that day, we do this in remembrance of Jesus Christ until that day when He will drink it with us anew in His Father's kingdom. I look forward to that day when we will all be together. We will be singing praises to God. We will be talking of His wondrous works. And we will commune together as one family. What a great reunion that will be. What a great time that will be when we can all come together and drink it anew with Jesus in heaven. I hope this lesson helps you to understand the importance of partaking of the Lord's Supper. What it truly means. It's a look back. It's a look around. It's a look forward. It's for all of those who believe. For all of those who are Christians. So that we may commune together as one and eventually commune together with the whole world of believers from the time of Adam and Eve to the time of the last Adam. We will be there together with them. What a great opportunity that is. And when you partake of the Lord's Supper, think about those three things. Think about the hope that we have every time we partake. If you have a need this morning, a need for our prayers, or a need to be baptized, we encourage you to come. All together we stand and sing.